time now for me to chat to my next guest. He is Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss. He's had an illustrious rabbinical career in the United Kingdom and Israel, and upon retiring, he became a member of the Chief Rabbinate Council. He's written a blog published in the Times of Israel, which I read a short while ago, a pretty astounding blog, The Party That Destroyed Jerusalem and the Lesson We Still Refuse to Learn. To get to grips with what he was trying to say is Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss. He's on the line with me right now. Rabbi, shalom lecha. Thanks for being with me on Chai FM.
Shalom, shalom to all you and to your listeners.
Rabbi, I wonder if we could ask you give me a high-level summary of the essence of the story, because I'm not 100% sure that everybody knows about the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story.
Well, Kamsa Bar Kamsa is a story told in the Talmud, which tries to describe what actually happened before the destruction of the Second Temple as a sign or a symbol of what was happening then. Kamsa and Bar Kamsa were enemies. One of them had a wedding or something.
Mm-hmm.
And an invitation to the wedding was sent to Kamsa instead of Bar Kamsa, or vice versa.
Yes.
In other words, the wrong person got the invitation,
mm-hmm.
and he thought I'm getting an invitation because the person who invited wants to make up with me. And so he gladly and happily and joyously went to this affair of his enemy, which he thought, well, things are being made up. When this enemy saw him there, and he saw the wrong, not Kamsa, but Bar Kamsa, whatever, when he saw the wrong person there, he wished to throw him out. Now, all the rabbis were there, all the distinguished people were there, and they see this situation that the host is trying to throw out.
Humiliating. His guest
had come with goodwill, and the host was shocked that his enemy had come as a guest. The guest beseeched him. He begged him. He says, "Look here, you're going to embarrass me in front of everyone. I'll help you in making this affair. I'll pay up to half the affair." Nothing was toward. Nothing was accepted, and he was thrown out of this affair because the host wouldn't forgive him. The host. Was still upset with him, and the host decided that he's going to debase him in public.
Mm-hmm.
That's in fact what happened. Then this gentleman went to the Roman authorities and complained. He was so upset that the leaders of the Jewish community didn't do anything about it, didn't stand up for him. So that's a story which tells us of what happens when the Sinat Chinam, when there's baseless hatred, when a person doesn't stand up and sees a wrong being done. And he saw not only the person, the host who invited him, has of course been doing something wrong, but the leaders of the people who stood there quietly and didn't take a stand.
So complicit, yeah.
That's an example of Sinat Chinam, of what the rabbis call baseless hatred. The host might have had a good reason or not good reason, but the other people should have stood up for this man who was being shamed and debased in public, and they didn't do so. So sometimes if you don't take a stand for the correct thing, and you share somebody else's distaste for something, although there's not justified, that's called sinat chinam. We all may have differences with each other, but that the differences shouldn't come to hatred. We should accept that everybody can have their own opinion. And that the rabbis say that it was this sinas chinam, which apparently wasn't this just the story of this Kamsambara Kamsi. Apparently it was the way people lived. They didn't respect each other, is the what brought about the destruction of the temple. According to the rabbis, it wasn't the great power of the Romans, but because the actual Israeli Jewish people didn't live with each other, didn't support each other, had differences, and couldn't find a commonality. The Romans managed to destroy them. And I wrote an article thinking that what's happening today to the Jewish people in Israel, at least, there's so much dissension, and people are taking each other's stands to extremes, and those with the government, against the government, they're against the government, they think that they can speak out all over the world. And I think this is part of the reason anti-Semitism has intensified in the last few years. It's not a justification, it's part of the reason. And we have to, and Israel is facing actual threats of its physical survival today. And nonetheless, we don't seem to be able to find the unity that is necessary amongst us.
I thought that was absolutely fascinating. When I was reading your article, you drew a sharp parallel between the infighting of ancient Jerusalem and the factionalism that we're seeing now between the Haredim and the national religious and the secular, and each one who is convinced that the other person is the problem. I mean, we've really arrived at a very bad place, and we haven't seemed to learn a thing from our history. But what I love about your article is you come up with some sort of a proposed solution, because you write that every group has work to do, you say, but instead of self-reflection, we obsess over the faults of others. Why on earth? What is this? Is this just human nature? Are we doomed to repeat this over and over and over and over? Where are we with this?
Apparently that is a nature, that is our nature. Instead of correcting ourselves and looking inwards, we look outwards. We know that things aren't going too well, so we, rather than check ourselves, we look at somebody else's fault and see their faults. And this is why the rabbis say a remarkable thing. They say that a person who mourns on Tisha B'Av, it is as though he sees the rebuilding, not he will see. Actually, now he's seeing the rebuilding, the geula, of the temple. And it's an odd thing to say that the zocher in the present tense, it should say he might see, yiske, he will see. But the rabbis were saying that if you can correct yourself, if you can correct this attitude of looking for the faults of other others, that's you're on the way that which caused the destruction of the temple. And that's what the rabbis always saw. I mean, we believe that we shall survive. We do survive. And there's a God. God helps us to survive. And we witness the most tremendous miracles. And sometimes, would we take these miracles and be so thankful, instead of doing that, we look to find faults in each other. And that's what Tisha B'Av is all about. It's not just about mourning 2,000 years ago or what happened. It's about trying to correct ourselves and build a better life. Because that's the rabbis say that Rome that destroyed the temple because of Sinat Chinam, because they didn't have this attitude of caring about each other, because they always found fault and justified the faults. Now we have to have love, chinam, with no necessary reason. Just we have to have ingrained in ourselves the wish and the desire to care for somebody else, to love them, with all the faults and all.
You emphasize...
That's how I see the story.
In your article, you emphasize that many Jews today grew up without any exposure to Torah or tradition, and that they deserve patience rather than judgment. So I guess I want to ask you, how should religious communities rethink the way they speak about and speak to Jews who were never given that heritage?
Well, listen, we have to be teachers. We have to set by example. That is the sad state. The sad state is so many because of this sinat chinam have grown up in this way. I was a rabbi in Israel in a community where there were about 30 kibbutzim, and I'm talking about 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And the dissonance between different communities was so great. It was terrible. And people live here. If a person's lived in a certain type of kibbutz all his life, he won't understand or appreciate other people, how they live. You can imagine, even in South Africa or wherever, somebody who's lived in a cloistered, non-religious environment doesn't appreciate the religious, and vice versa. We have to try and find commonality. We have to realize if you take our DNA, we're all from the same, we all have the same ancestors. And we have to understand, yes, plenty of people haven't, not for their, because of their own faults. They haven't had a Jewish education. They haven't had a religious education. They don't appreciate it. We're a community. We're in Israel, for example. We've come from all parts and parcels of the world. There's so many who've come from Russia and from communist Russia. They never had a chance to study anything of Judaism. We have to realize that the people who come from the USA, the 60-70% intermarriage there, people just, not everybody has had the opportunity, as I believe that I have had, and I trust that you have had, of knowing what Judaism is all about. And I, as a religious person, have to understand that when I relate or try to relate to someone else. And not be judged. The Almighty God can judge us all, not we, not us. We shouldn't judge each other.
Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss, we're going to leave it there. I just want to thank you for writing a really important piece, a beautiful call for unity at a time when it's needed so very badly. He's wishing you a meaningful fast, and thank you for being with us on Chai FM.